Every guy I've ever dated has told me I have trust issues, which is something liars say when you're onto them. You have trust issues, babe. You have a hot coworker and a locked phone, so. I have trust issues, but I earned them, okay? I absolutely earned them. Like, I got cheated on in college. My college boyfriend was sleeping with sex workers behind my back, or prostitutes if you're old and don't know that word's not okay to use anymore. Sometimes older crowd members can get confused because they're like, what is a sex worker? Is that what my granddaughter does on Instagram? And you're like, no. She's just hot. That's a FabFitFun box. That's a different thing. Your granddaughter doesn't, that's not a job. That's not real. You can't say prostitute anymore. Calling a sex worker a prostitute is like calling a comedian a clown. You're not technically wrong, but you are a fucking asshole. So. But I told my therapist I got cheated on like this, and she didn't say what I wanted her to say, which was, poor baby sweetie, this session is free. Instead, she goes, well, you might be a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I was like, oh. And she's like, no, it's a bad thing. And I was like, well, then could you say I have self-fulfilling prophecy? Is Selena Gomez a self-fulfilling prophecy? And I said, what does that mean? I'm a self-fulfilling prophecy. And she goes, well, sometimes we expect someone to treat us poorly, so we treat them like they're going to treat us poorly until they do. You thought someone was going to cheat on you, so you treated them like they were going to cheat on you until they did cheat on you. And then you were like, see? And I was like, oh, so I'm a witch. And she's like, ooh, so close, you're a bitch. You gotta, that way I'm like, whatever, all I heard was Gryffindor.
Welcome to the Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gennetz, alongside Brandon Valentine.
Hello, hello.
Well, there it is. There's your new host of the Late Late Show.
Yeah.
That's who's taken James Corden's spot. Taylor Thompson. Sorry, Tomlinson. Jesus Christ, I can't speak today. Do you know who she is?
No.
No, I've watched her stand up for a long time. She's actually really funny. I'd say 2019, 2020 is when she started getting like televised specials and stuff like that. She's pretty funny there, but I don't know. To me, I think you got to have skits and stuff for those type of late night talk shows. And I don't know if she's got that, but you know, comedy wise, I think she'll be very funny. So we'll see. I was like,
we'll see.
My phone just went off and said I had a message. It was from you.
Did it say you're a schmuck? Oh, no, just kidding.
No. No. All right, I got questions for you.
Uh-oh.
Let's go question number one. Okay, you're the only guy I can talk to about this because we both have bidets.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed recently, I'd say the last couple of weeks, if I sit just off and I take that initial blast right in the b-hole, that instantly when I stand up, I have to pee. So I told Tosh that I think my asshole's drinking the water.
Meh.
And she's like, those things aren't connected. To me, it's like the eating pasta and pulling it out of your nose thing.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't think those two things are connected either, but.
But they are.
Yeah, because they're close to one another. Like my pee hole in my asshole.
Possible.
Do you ever have to pee right when you get up?
No, but I have to pee like right before I get up. It'll be like, I think I'm all done, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, nope, gotta pee real quick.
I swear. Rinse, 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 dry, 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 stand up, and then instead of instantly bending down and picking up my underwear, I turn around and pee.
Yeah.
I am.
I don't know. Maybe it's the feel of the water makes you like.
Now I have not. I have not Googled this yet. However, and if you want to add so I can share my screen to you, I will let you see what Google itself has to say here. There we are. How should I word this?
I don't know. Why do I have
does
the PF
your
be
asshole
taking a bidet shot to the butthole?
Drink water. Is it possible to ingest water rectally? It is possible to ingest water rectally. Yes, it is. The colon plays an important role in the body's maintenance of proper hydration by absorbing water. Can you get hydrated by absorbing water through your asshole?
I kind of want to know if that's true or not.
Is it unhealthy for me to spray pressured water into my anus? This could make or break our happiness. Do I click on it?
I mean, you should, but I mean, the thing is, I'm going to be, I mean, you probably shouldn't be using the bidet and actually shooting water up your butthole. I mean,
no, but that's what I'm saying.
Unless you're using it differently than I am. I'm just like, you know, I'm cleaning the outside. I didn't know you're cleaning your actual colon.
Are you precise every single time you sit down? Do you have tape marks on the toilet seat to line your body up perfectly?
No.
Have you never gotten that, oh, that's not right, shot to the butt?
No, I think mine's just at a different angle because mine doesn't come straight up. It comes like at an angle, so it's like.
Mine comes at an angle too.
It's like when you spray the side of your car and like wash it down, not like spray into the car.
I know. And so typically when I'm done pooping, I slide forward on the seat a little bit. So it hits behind the butthole and shoots it down.
Yeah.
Right? But there's sometimes that I don't go quite far enough. And I hit the target.
I mean, I've hit the target, but I've never actually had it like, you know, feel like it was like shooting up my butthole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just like into it. And the big problem I have now is I feel like I need to get like a portable one, because it's like if I don't have one, I don't feel clean.
So
whenever we go on vacation, I feel like I'm not clean.
And we talked about that. Ooh, it is potentially hazardous to have water into your anus and later poop out water. I don't poop it out. I pee it out.
Because you're drinking it.
Yeah. Is your anus supposed to be clean inside after pooping? If I fill my anus with 2.3 liters of water, is it harmful? Well, it is if you leave it in the bottle. Oh. Google, my friends. Survival.
There's another one there as you were looking down at it. It said something about, is it dangerous if I get water in my butthole while I'm showering? How in the hell are you showering in a way that water's shooting up your butthole? Are you doing a handstand in the shower?
You don't have one of the like massaging.
Oh, I guess you have the wands.
Yeah.
Must have been a woman. Maybe she moved it too far down.
Which I use all the time. Survival skills. Can a person drink seawater through their anus to avoid having the salt absorbed? Yes, it is possible to absorb water through your rectum by way of the colon, but not salt water. This has been done by medics in the First World War when they cleaned water or IV supply. They didn't get fucking gangrene in Agent Orange. Oh.
What? They had dirty water, so they shoved it up the butthole. Is it dangerous to put ice in your ass? Why are you putting ice in your ass?
That's like a sex thing.
In the ass, though?
I did ecstasy in the ass once.
That's right.
What can I do to fix my
butthole? The only thing
Matt will
allow to be shoved up his ass is ecstasy.
What's wrong with your butthole? The bottom question, what can I do to fix my butthole? Well, what's wrong with it? How does anybody through the history of time sign up for the military?
I don't know.
I mean, we're talking your clean water or IV supplies. So your medical aid and your drinking water filtered through somebody's asshole.
Well, the bad part is that picture that they're showing right now, that's not even like an IV bag. That's like the bladder that I use for like running.
Like I was going to say.
So that, they just took like a fucking camel bag.
I've been watching this
bladder and just shoved the tube up their butthole.
I've been watching these YouTube guys like the Outdoor Boys. And that's what they take to, like, they get creek water or whatever, and it's got a filter mm-hmm. somewhere on the hose, and they just hang it.
Yep.
And
I have one of those.
Gravity filter, and, you know, that you're right. That's exactly what it looks like. I'm really curious. So to describe this picture, they got a dude, like, laying on a yoga mat with what I can describe as a birthing pad underneath him.
Yeah.
Not to get the pucenta on it. And he's laying on his side with this filter bag on his side with the hose shoved up his ass. Does somebody have to suck on one end to siphon, to get the siphon going?
I don't know. This whole thing's confusing me. This is one of those things, like when I teach first aid all the time, and I'm like, sometimes I think people just have a kink and they don't want to admit to it.
But they want other people to have that same kink, so they put it on medical advice boards?
I guess. I mean, like I said, at one time they actually really believed they blew smoke up a person's ass. It would freaking wake them from, like, drowning.
So what's the theory here? You're fucking hiking out in the middle of fucking nowhere along the ocean, right? Because that's salt water. So you're around the ocean, and you're like, I've got a plan. We're going to get lost. We're going to need to filter water to survive. And if she does it, oh my God. Like, I get you, they might have a butt kink, but do you really think that would work?
No.
Well, now I want to try.
What, you? Okay.
I have to click on this one. What can I do to fix my butthole? Like, that's something I would type into Google.
You have to agree that you're at least 30 years old to go to this question.
I got you. Let's go. Come on. Choose an account.
What's wrong with your butthole? What can I do to fix my... Like you said, I want to know what's wrong with it.
How can I find somebody's dating profile without knowing? That's not... And that's what can I do to fix my butthole? Okay. Here's answer one. Sorry, that first part I read was an ad. Here's answer one. You must go downtown in a big city and find a big strong guy that looks like he works on trucks and tractors. Ask him if he can fix things. If the answer is an affirmative, ask him if he could fix your butthole. It should be easy to locate a butthole repairman. There are many, but you don't have to ask. What's wrong with the butthole?
Make an appointment with a proctologist, which is a doctor of buttholes.
There you go.
No success to explain what is wrong with your butthole.
How can I stretch my butthole?
Can I stretch? Whoa.
Oh.
There you go.
This is... Do you see how I get into these fucking things now?
Yeah.
Because then you see what other people have asked, and you're like, well, fuck, I gotta see this. Like, what if that happens to me? What if my butthole breaks? Now I know I gotta go
stretch your butthole.
Now I know I gotta go downtown Seattle and find a guy who can work on tractors. Because that's what it's telling me to do. But did I somehow get on another page? Like,
no.
Oh.
Is it dangerous to put stuff deep inside your anus?
Well, probably.
Jesus.
Probably. Now, I had another question. Now I can't even think of what the fuck that was. Like, the bidet was question one, and somehow we ended up I don't know what a good phrase for that is.
I don't know. Ended up down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Like, literally a rabbit's butthole.
Oh, yeah, I was trying to... I don't know. I don't know. But, yes, every time I catch myself in the butthole, I have to pee when I stand up.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like I said, I like, right before I get up, usually I have to pee. So, I mean, there is that, but...
Maybe... I don't know. I don't know how much information is too much information.
Probably. We crossed that line a long time ago. I mean, I know you can drink alcohol through your butthole.
Well, we witnessed Steve-O do that.
Yeah.
Anything that goes in the, like, bloodstream that you want to quit.
You can get very drunk that way because there's no filter. It just goes straight into your body.
Yeah. Well, the mucus membrane or whatever is super thin in your butt. And so anything that you want in your bloodstream fast, quick, and in a fucking hurry, that's where you go with it, i.e. Ecstasy. God, I swear to God, I had more fucking questions. Let's go back here. Let's see what we're going down it tonight. Fuck it. Does an enema dehydrate you?
I did find rectal rehydration is an alternative.
An alternative. No thanks.
It's.
Do you think that's what the sport bottles are for?
I found an article and it says rectal rehydration is something not talked about these modern times. Well, no shit, because nobody wants to do it, and probably for good reason. The main reason being that the superior access points to rehydrate from are available and preferred. But what about those situations where you're stuck in the wild and you need fluid, and the only fluid available is not suitable to drink, or where the fluid is suitable but your fellow survivalist is unconscious for whatever reason but needs fluid urgently? I'm gonna have to be really good friends with that person if I'm just gonna fucking shove a tube up their ass to hydrate them.
Yeah. So I'm still really curious about, like, filtering salt water through your ass. Like, how does that work? Fuck it, I'll Google it. I don't care.
I mean, the salt water, I thought it said you couldn't do salt water.
I thought they were saying that's how you filter it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not using the word bum. It's through your ass. Because to me, it's got to be one of two ways, right? You drink it and then shoot it out your ass, or you shove it up your ass and spit it out. What the fuck? I forgot I could share my screen again now that I got the page back up, because I hit the wrong button last time. So, you drink it through your ass to get hydrated, and your colon filters out the salt.
Yeah. Early studies demonstrated the colon can retain up to 500 milliliters of fluids per hour. In 2005, a now often cited article described an occasion where improvised proctolysis in a remote setting was effectively used to treat an initially stabilized a casualty in a remote setting. Reigniting discussion on this technique is emergency treatment in a remote environment. What the fuck?
Oh. Yeah,
I'm disturbed.
Yeah, I don't disturbed. Know. So I know you get pedicures.
Mm-hmm.
You ever do the enemas?
No.
You don't want to be pampered that much?
I didn't know that was an option. I don't think I've been to one that offered that. Not that I've asked. Excuse me, would you give me an enema?
I'm sure you've been to the ones that offer lots of things.
I just never thought to ask for an enema.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember seeing, it was a long time ago, I think it was Usher, was doing them every week to lose weight.
Yeah, I've heard people doing that, but I've heard it's like really fucking bad for you to do it that much.
What isn't?
Much. No.
What isn't really fucking bad for you anymore?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, like I said, it's if you're doing it too much.
I don't know if I could. Did you ever have to give your kids, but I called them butt bombs.
No, I didn't. I never did. I know you had to because
no,
you know.
I didn't because I couldn't. They needed them, and Tosh couldn't. We would have Vi come down.
I could see Vi doing it.
So Vi will always have that embarrassing story when the girls graduate high school, turn 21. You know I used to stick butt bombs up your ass and blow the poop out? Wedding speeches.
I can so see Vi doing that too.
I remember my little niece when she had a turd the size of a softball stuck in her. Yeah, like I think that scares me. Like I don't know if I could ever do an enema. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. No, I don't think I could. I don't know because it's just one of those things. I mean, I understand the idea of it to deal with, but I mean, maybe if I was in the situation, you know, like your girls were, where I mean, pretty much they needed it and they were in like horrible, uncomfortable pain because they couldn't poop. Maybe, but not just because, you know, hey, sounds fun. No.
Yeah, so a medical situation, I mean, you know, yes. A lot of times you don't have a choice in that. But just the, like the, I don't know what you want to call it, the cleanliness of it or whatever, like, oh, I'm going to go get mani-pedi enema.
No.
Yeah, I don't think I could. I
mean, it's bad enough I've had out of a colonoscopy before, and the freaking stuff they make you drink before that. I mean, shit, I'm pretty sure I shit out a piece of fucking gum I ate in first grade.
So I think I'm supposed, like, I'm getting to that age where I have to go get a colonoscopy as just normal checkup. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
I've had to, and it wasn't because like a normal checkup. I was having issues and they had to check some things, and that's, yeah.
Well, yeah, you just hit 45, which is where they say is now the age to get a colonoscopy.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that. It wasn't that because I hit the age. I actually had it when I was a little bit, you know, younger, but it was because of I was having stomach issues and they needed to basically look in my stomach.
Yeah, like I said,
yours
had to be for a medical issue that was happening then and now.
They did like both ends.
It wasn't the normal checkup.
No. Yeah. Like I said, they had to do both ends. It was not good.
Yeah. I've been battling with myself. Like I see my mom and her declining health. You know, never goes to the doctor, nothing, you know.
Yeah.
Da 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 da. And I battle, like, I have that angel devil thing going on. Like, you know, you should really go get checked out and just do early screening type stuff and, you know, make sure that if that you don't have anything and if you have something, you catch it early enough, you're young enough, blah, 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 blah. We can fight it off. And then the other part of me is like, I'm not sure I want to know.
Yeah. And I think that's the hardest part sometimes where you're like, no, don't know if I even want to know at this point. Just, yeah, whatever.
I know I struggle with that because I want to, you know, you, and don't get me wrong, none of us are looking to die from this shit, especially at 45, 44.
Yeah.
But your kids are all out of high school and, like, I sit there and I'm like, man, Toby's only 9, you know. Like, if I had something right now, like, I want to know and fight it and not die 2 years from not knowing what the fuck I have.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want, my goal in life is to make it through all 4 kids of mine's wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my goal in life. My dad didn't do it. You know, he only made it to mine. So, yeah. Oh, well, that was a... We got to get back to shoving things in the ass, I guess.
No kidding.
That's
what I keep telling the wife, but she doesn't listen.
So, I want to see... pedicure, manicure, have you done the mani?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I could go do a lot. I think the only quote unquote pampering that I've ever done to myself is massage.
Yeah. Well, part of your problem too is, I mean, you don't like feet.
Well, I'm definitely not getting a pedi.
So, I mean, yeah, I would say you can't get a pedi because you just don't. And it's not like you just don't like other people. You don't even like people touching your feet. I mean, you are like completely. You've said it before. Feet should just be cut off at birth.
Yeah.
Like the foreskin. That foreskin and the feet. That's it. Just fucking lop them all off.
Yeah. I think I would have been okay if my foreskin was left. I could take that extra half inch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just, there's petty, mani, massage. What other pampering is there?
Facials? I mean, there's haircuts, but, you know, yeah.
I don't consider a haircut pampering, like.
Facials.
Right? Everybody goes and gets a haircut, whether you go to, you know, a salon or a barber, or you have your wife, you know. Do you have Amber cut up your split ends when they show up?
No.
Do you go get it done?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. Even dudes with long hair, everybody gets, you know, just the... I don't consider that pampered. So, facial. Yeah. You ever had a facial?
No.
Damn it.
I've tried giving facials a few times, but yeah, she says no.
Thought you were going to play right into that.
No.
Yep, never had a facial. And do you want one?
No.
Oh! God damn it. I got to work on my pickup lines.
Yeah. The last pickup line you used, you know, that worked, you got tosh. I mean, at least you had one, the good one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess I'm just low maintenance. Cut my hair and we're good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that didn't go... wait, Quora, though. Quora has, what are some cheap ways to pamper yourself?
Let's see. What are they?
This is where all the butt stuff was, so. Quora's kind of like Reddit. Like, you just end up in some weird fucking places.
They do, but the funny thing is most of these things are, like, 6 years old at the earliest. I mean, nobody, like, goes to Quora anymore.
Yeah.
So it's really fun to read.
So this is a guy... who says, what do you really like? I like to eat sweet, so I buy myself a Coke or a candy bar or a latte. It doesn't have to be expensive, but the experience of eating or drinking it feels wonderful. I like being outside on a nice day, so I take short walks just for fun, not for exercise. But I get the exercise in the process. I like to sleep, so I sleep in when I can. I love music, so I listen to it anytime I can, but only my favorite songs and artists. You get the idea. Oh, so you live?
Yeah.
Every single one of those, hey, I'm thirsty. If I want a soda, I buy a soda. Ah, fuck, I got a sweet tooth. I'm going to get a candy bar. Oh, I want to go for it. Nope, I don't want to do that. I don't sleep. Oh, music? You mean when you're not pampering yourself, you pop in shit you don't want to listen to?
Maybe he's married.
I still control the radio.
Yeah. I do sometimes. No, I don't. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Here's another guy. We got warm bath, new set of bed linens, read a feel-good book or watch a feel-good movie while drinking hot cocoa, or tea, maybe wine for some people. What is wrong with people?
I was going to say something very unnice, but I won't.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
What do you pamper yourself with if you don't have a lot of money? My fingers.
There you go. I was given a red lobster. Wait, hold on. Go back up. What was that? I was given a Red Lobster gift card as a birthday. I set up a really nice bubble bath. Got takeout Red Lobster and ate in the bath. Oh, that just doesn't sound good.
A bath?
And the lights dimmed with candles for some ambiance. And I set up my phone so I could watch a movie. That sounds like the most depressing.
There's no way that the steam from a hot bath and the humidity in the bathroom is good for those Cheddar Bay biscuits.
And the other thing is, like I said, that sounds like the most... I mean, I guess maybe it's because I've been married, so I mean, I just don't get it. But you're all alone, basically using your birthday gift card...
In
a bubble bath, watching a movie while eating Red Lobster. I'm guessing they're crying. Because now, I would be.
This might actually, I might agree with some of this. Like, I love taking baths.
Yeah.
I've got a really shitty bathtub with a horrible angle and it sucks to lay in. That's one of the things I want to change about our house. But generally speaking, I love to just sit in a bath for a good long period of time.
I mean, I don't mind it either. It's just the ambiance of this one. I mean, are you going to sit in the bathroom with fucking Red Lobster or like take out Red Lobster, which...
So it's funny.
The only thing good at Red Lobster is the fucking biscuits.
I'll drink coffee and shit while I'm pooping.
Yeah,
I call it cutting out the middleman.
But I mean,
But I won't eat in the bathtub. Now I will drink.
I know, and eating in the bathtub just—that's just the fucking weirdest thing to me because it's moist, it's humid, it's.
You said that word on purpose.
He did.
You're like, how can I fit this in? He used the word human. What's a synonym for humid? Yeah, you fucking did that on purpose.
But still, I'm just eating in the bathtub.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I mean, they're reading in the bathtub. I used to do that being the youngest of six growing up. My parents had this huge bathtub with jets. And just to fucking like get time alone, I would go in there, turn on the fucking jets, and read a book.
How I've not drowned. So when I get drunk, I like to sleep in the bathtub.
Because it's easy to clean up the puke.
I'm not much of a puker.
I'm
not saying I haven't puked, but I'm not much of a puker in general.
We can make you puke on cue. Just give you a shot of tequila.
Allergic reaction's not... Doesn't count.
It does when it's fucking hilarious every time.
Yeah, but that doesn't consider me a drinking puker. Like, I'm a pass-out guy. And how I have not... Like, how I've not Matthew Perry'd this situation, I don't know. I actually felt a little bad fucking laughing at it. Let me see if I can find it, and let's see if it'll come through on my phone here.
There's a lot of celebrities in hot water recently. You heard about Matthew Perry?
It was really loud, and then all of a sudden it went quiet. No, no, it was loud, but then it went quiet, and I can't hear it.
Let me see if I can find it on the old Tube of Ube.
Tube of Ube? That sounds bad.
Basically, he says there's a lot of celebrities in hot water lately. Have you heard of Matthew Perry? And then he says I shouldn't be roasting him because he's already boiled.
There's something that I might want to watch later. Holy crap.
What's that?
Mick Foley has an Inferno match against Spicy Wings.
On hot? Do you ever watch Hot Ones?
I've watched a few times, but I'm just thinking Mick Foley.
Yeah, I know. I watch him all the time, and I've not watched Mick yet. It just came out a couple weeks ago, but I'm a huge fan of the show.
Oh, yeah. And I'm a huge fan of Mick's.
Oh, me too. By far my favorite wrestler ever.
Yeah.
Oh, so speaking of wrestling, Nick might appreciate this question, but I saw somebody ask in an interview, asked The Undertaker, his Mount Rushmore of wrestling managers. And I will give you the ones he gave, and then I'd like to hear yours. So
managers, huh?
Managers. He said Bobby the Brain Heenan, Captain Lou Albano, Jim Cornette, and fuck, I can't remember the fourth one. It might have been Classy Freddie Blassie. It was Paul something, not Paul Bear. It was somebody who first managed Undertaker. Paulie Dangerously, I think it was. That's who it was. So he's got Bobby Heenan, Captain Lou Albano, Paulie Dangerously, and Jim Cornette. Who would you pick?
I'm going to go with Paul Bearer because, I mean, it's Paul Bearer. How can you not?
Yeah.
I mean, Cornette was good. Trying to think of who else. I mean, there were some good ones. Lou was, I always think of Lou as a wrestler, and I forget that he also was a.
Yeah, he managed for a long time.
Yeah. Jimmy Hart.
Yeah. Jimmy Hart, I was shocked, wasn't even mentioned, like honorable mention. He did say about Paul Bear, he said, those are my four people on the Mount Rushmore, and he said, Paul Bear is the mountain.
I can see that. I don't know. I'm trying to. I mean, there's some good. I mean, Mr. Fuji.
That was one I thought of too.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many.
And not mentioned. I went through probably 70 comments before I got to somebody in the comments that even mentioned Mr. Fuji.
Million Dollar Man.
No, Million Dollar Man. I always think his manager was Virgil.
Yeah.
You know, I think of Virgil. So let's, but Virgil really only managed him. At least that's what he's really known for.
And then he went on to wrestle himself, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have, well, like you said, Jimmy Hart was the Hart Foundation. He was the Honky Tonk Man. I think he did Ravishing Rick Rude for, like, Jimmy Hart to me is huge. That wasn't mentioned by Undertaker.
Miss Elizabeth?
That's one I'm thinking that nobody mentioned was Miss Elizabeth. 100% Miss Elizabeth. I think of Slick. Remember old Slick?
Mm-hmm.
Slick was awesome. Now, I do agree with Bobby the Brain Heenan. I mean, he managed Andre the Giant, King Harley Race, Haku. You know, some pretty big names. Paul Bearer. Paul Heyman would be another one, especially for later years. But I think I you have to give it to Bobby the Brain first and foremost. You just do. He's number one. I remember classy Freddie Blassie always coming out in his Hawaiian shirts. Like, I couldn't tell you who he managed, though.
Yeah.
At all. But, so Bobby the Brain Heenan, Jimmy Hart, above Jim Cornette. I thought Jimmy Hart was fantastic.
Yeah.
Miss Elizabeth.
He just had that whole attitude.
Yep. And I know Miss Elizabeth really only managed one person. They had the feuds where she came out with Hogan a few times, you know, things like that. But she's known to be with the Macho Man. That's it. So those are three. And then probably you're right, Paul Bearer. Because Paul Bearer did, well, Undertaker, of course, but then Kane and also did Mankind.
Yeah.
I think that would be my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Now, they did ask him his Mount Rushmore for wrestlers. And he left Hulk Hogan off. And the guy said, "Why'd you leave Hulk Hogan off?" And he goes, "You know why." So it sounds like it's more a personal thing, but would you have Hulk Hogan on your Mount Rushmore wrestling?
I mean, I think you kind of have to because of his... what he did for wrestling, but at the same time, I mean, he was never, and I know I'm going to get shit for this, he was never one of my favorites. No. I loved Undertaker, Ultimate Warrior, I mean, Macho Man, to me, I liked more than I did Hogan.
Yeah. I was a huge Hart Foundation. I loved Bret Hart.
Oh, yeah, Bret the Hitman.
And I'm just trying to think of people back in the mid-80s, right, when wrestling first started blowing up. Yes, it was Hogan. That, you know, he headlined every WrestleMania until, like, you know, 8 or 9 or whatever. But I think the Takers was Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Which I would never have put on there based off of my personal experience with wrestling. And then you start, as you get older, you do your own research and you start to see what he was to wrestling. And you're like, okay, I get it, right? But we got Andre later in life and kind of more of a sideshow than an actual wrestler, right? Yeah. Even WrestleMania 3, he could barely walk, you know. So I think I'd put Andre on there. Ric Flair. And then he did Stone Cold. And, who was it? It wasn't The Rock. It was another guy that kind of surprised me, but yeah, no Hogan, which, you know, you almost have to just give him his props based on what he did for the exposure of wrestling.
Yeah.
We didn't have we weren't in the South. We didn't have those cool local promotions.
No, not all.
I know they were here, but they weren't big like Memphis and Minnesota had a huge one in Florida and, you know, Georgia. Those places. We didn't have and the reason I know it, my dad was actually in one for a few months and wrestled Greg the Hammer, who was the champion of the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, what was Greg the Hammer once it blew up nationally?
Nothing.
Mid-tier guy.
And see, that's one of the things, like, looking at, I mean, for me, I think it's one of those ones, I think it'd be the ones that got me interested or that I've looked back at now and seen what they really meant to it. Like, of course, like you said, Andre, I agree with Andre, but, like, Iron Sheik, what he did to the heel role,
100%.
is insane. I mean, to think about what he who he really was. I mean, he literally ran away from his country because he was going to be killed.
Yeah.
And he was an Olympic wrestler. And then he came here to the U.S. and became a coach on the American, you know, Olympic wrestling team and did all these amazing things and then got into wrestling and became the, I mean, in my opinion, one of the best heels that's ever been. I mean, anybody who's a heel, I mean, you look at Iron Sheik and that's how you, that's who you should look to be.
To be a true heel, right?
Oh, yeah. He was the heel of heels.
Almost
I mean,
every wrestler has turned heel at some point, but didn't epitomize
it. Oh, and he was to his, all the way to, you know, rest in peace to his death.
Yeah.
Even, you know, on, like I said, the only reason I even used X or Twitter, you know, Twitter or X or whatever the hell it's called now was because his, like, tweets were freaking hilarious. Mm-hmm. You know, up, he was constantly, you know, go fuck yourself, you know.
And was constantly that way to Hogan from his wrestling days to the very end.
To the very end, he was constantly, I mean, he never broke that character.
And also, part of one of my, one of my all-time favorite rivalries was him and Sergeant Slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Which, don't get me wrong, back as a kid, made me love Sergeant Slaughter. Because, one, my dad was in the military, so everything was just go America, you know. But it also drew me in to hate the Iron Sheik, which is 100% what he wanted.
That was his job.
Yeah. So you got Sheik, Andre.
And I think I have another one that's weird, but whatever. Rey Mysterio.
Oh. I don't think weird. I don't think a lot would pick, especially of the non-Hispanic race, right? I think if you talk to a lot of them, if they weren't naming all Libres, like, you know, Mexican wrestlers, if we were just talking, you know, the Mexican heritage one in the WWE, it'd be him or Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah. Yeah, but for me, I think with him, he changed what we saw with wrestling, because what we grew up with was the Hogan. You did have the Ultimate Warrior that was a little bit out there. Like, he was, that guy was on fucking, I think he took cocaine up his butthole.
Oh yeah.
But you had all those, but Rey Mysterio was going up against these guys, just this little itty bitty guy, just on his high flying insanity.
Well, not when he started. When he started in WCW, they had weight classes.
Yes.
So, yeah, he was fighting guys his size when he started fighting. But, yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's three.
Ooh, a fourth one, huh? I mean, Undertaker, because he was my hero.
Yep. Okay. I see that.
And not the motorcycle Undertaker, the real Undertaker.
Not the American Badass?
No.
I agree. The Prince of Darkness.
But then it's tough for me too, because then all of a sudden then it's like, okay, but yeah, but what about Bret Hart?
Yeah.
I mean, he belongs up there somewhere. I mean, at least a Hart. You know. I mean, Bret, probably not Owen, but you know.
Owen would just fall off.
He would just fall right off the mountain. But, it's, you know, it's one
I'm
of those
sickened
ones.
That's and proud of that joke at the same time.
Yeah. Oh. It's tough. And, I mean, then you got other ones like Rowdy. And then you got, I mean, there's so many good ones from that time.
So, I gotta put Ric Flair up there.
Yeah?
Ric Flair goes up there for me. Not only longevity, but to me was just as big as Hogan, just was in the wrong promotion when it blew up.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I think he was bigger than Hogan, and then it blew up and all of a sudden Hogan was all over TV and Ric Flair wasn't. But Ric Flair, Andre the Giant, I have to put Mick Foley up there.
See, that was one that I was thinking about. The hard part for me is...
We've been doing so good, and all of a sudden he froze on me.
Just fully.
All right, you completely froze during all of that.
Oh, my internet connection just went unstable.
Oh, weird. Yours?
Wow. Interesting. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you. No problem.
Okay. But yeah, for me with Mick Foley, it'd be like, which one? Because there's so many different versions. So for me, if Mick Foley's on there, which I love Mick, it would have to be Mick.
So
because
it'd be no different than
he
when
epitomizes everything he did.
It'd be no different than when you put Undertaker up there, but you're putting the Undertaker up there for his career. You're just putting the original Undertaker's face on the mountain.
Yes.
But you have to measure the whole career, which, don't get me wrong, the American Badass thing wasn't my favorite version of Undertaker. However, it may have very well been the best growth change of storyline keeping the same person ever done.
Yeah.
Ever done, right? But Mick for many reasons. One, it's just personal. That was my favorite when me and my dad would watch every Monday Night Raw, every Nitro. You know, we were watching wrestling all the time together. And Mick was that one where I was like, oh my God, I could be a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you get into Mick's, like, Japanese death matches with Terry Funk. And then his ECW hardcore, like the shit that man put his body through to not be a champion, to not be the guy. Like, he was never the guy.
No. He was a guy that ran WWE for a bit, but...
Yeah, but... And he won the title once. You know, but...
But he was never... He was always that guy because he was insane. And he could put on a show and he would put his body on the line to make the rest of us see it. And I think that's a lot of reason why, like I said, Rey Mysterio, he gave us a different type of wrestler. And you got to think, like, when Rey Mysterio was starting to come out was when I was, you know, coming out of high school and stuff, and I was a little itty-bitty guy, you know, 150 pounds of nothing. And I'm looking at Rey Mysterio going, oh, shit, look at him go.
Yeah. Yeah, the main thing, too, about Mick never left the ring without making sure every fan at home and in the arena got their money's worth.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you never saw him phone anything in.
No. And, I mean, if you were going to pick, I mean, it's pretty much any, I mean, in my mind, pretty much any true wrestling fan, if you ask them what are the best matches of all time, that Hell in the Cell is in the top five.
It's top two for me.
For me, it's number one. Oh, for me, it's number one.
It's probably number one. The first kind of real crazy match that blew my socks off was that WrestleMania 10 ladder match with Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon.
Mm-hmm.
That one, especially because those guys weren't necessarily considered high flyers.
No.
And when they're doing the shit they were doing with that ladder, and that was one of those matches that, like, blew me away. I think you're right. I liked Mick Foley's King of the Ring Hell in the Cell better. But that first, on any given day, it could be a toss-up.
Yeah.
And then you're right. That number four is super hard. But if I had to pick, I think I'm going Piper.
Yeah.
To me, Piper is the original Rock. To me, Piper, one, could wrestle his ass off, would put on a show, had the feuds with all the big guys, the Hogans, and, you know, all the big guys from that time period, but could rock that microphone fucking better than anybody. No fucking gimmicks, no fucking anything, right? And like Piper's Pit was amazing. He was a brawler, which I thought was cool, especially back in the day when people were doing, you know, wrestling. Piper's like, what's that? Here's some fists. Like, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
Yeah, Piper, I think, would crack my top four.
I think so, too, because, I mean, he was, in many ways, like you said, he was the Rock.
He was the best on the mic at that time period, period.
Have you ever heard of one, of anything happening, where the Rock got the crowd so riled up that they started yanking the chairs that were bolted down off the floor and throwing them in the ring?
Yeah.
And Piper did it at least once that I know of.
Who was it? Morton Downey Jr. That he pissed off so bad in Piper's Pit that he broke character and started fucking throwing shit at Piper. You know, yeah.
If you really want to see a good one, the one where they actually, when Roddy Piper does the Mexican national anthem.
Yeah. You know, to your credit, right, of saying Iron Sheik and Iron Sheik for the reasons of being the heel and all that, Piper was a heel the whole way through, but a likable, relatable heel. Right. And I think today the Sheik would be more relatable if he was wrestling and doing his shit in there, just the way the world is.
Yeah.
But back then, right, it was country versus country. And because Sheik was, you know, from the Middle East, he was automatically hated, and he played into that. Where Piper, his whole goal was to be a heel. But every person here went, well, fuck, I drink beer and work a 9-to-5 and fucking hate my life. And, like, I get what this guy's doing.
Oh, yeah. It's like you're looking at, like, I would sit and have a drink with this fucker.
Oh, yeah. In a heart. That was always my favorite parts of being on the road with Brad, was hearing him tell Piper's stories from when he was the opening act for Piper's one-man show, which I always thought was funny. Piper's tour was called the one-man show. And he had an opening act.
You know.
Yeah. But. All right. One more. Well, there's so much, really. But one more thing here. So I found out my work sponsors this festival. And they were talking to me today about, hey, do you want to go to this? And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, it's called Hair Fest. And it's
but it's hair spelled like a bunny rabbit.
Yep. And it is a tribute band or a cover band festival. So I looked at what 2023 was because I had never heard of it. And they were like, oh, yeah, you can come down. We'll pay for camping and get you tickets and da-da-da-da-da. So your kickoff party on Thursday night was an 80s band. And then you had a Spinal Tap cover band. Day one of the festival, you have a Blondie cover band, Ozzy.
A Spinal Tap blend. Okay, never mind.
I'm just Fleetwood Mac, Boston, AC/DC, Motley Crue, Queen, and the closers are the Beastie Boys. And then day two, you have the Super Sounds of the 70s, a Doobie Brothers / Hall & Oates cover band. Steve Miller Band.
Hall & Brothers. That's awesome.
Yeah, Hall & Bros. Hall & Bros.
Hall & Bros.
Steve Miller Band, and then Foreigner. And then on the main stage, you have Tom Petty, the Eagles, Heart and Led Zeppelin, Def Leppard, Metallica, Van Halen, Journey, Guns N' Roses, and Pink Floyd.
Wow.
Would that be something you would go to?
I would go.
God, now I gotta go.
I would go.
Because when he first said it, I was like, well, that's fucking dumb. Like a 3-day festival of just cover bands?
But it actually sounds, one of those ones that sounds so stupid, it sounds amazing.
Yeah. And I'm looking at all the bands these guys cover, and I'm like, fuck, I'd see any one of those guys, especially in a festival lineup, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I might not pay to go see fucking Foreigner anymore, you know, or fucking Motley Crue for that matter. They sound like fucking trash now.
But the cover band might sound amazing.
Yeah. So I have no clue who's coming in 2024. This was last year's.
Yeah.
But, and it's at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds in Oregon.
Hmm. Which is just outside of Portland.
They have a campground there. So you kind of like the gorge, you camp right there at the festival. I think I still want to party with the people that would go to those concerts, you know, if they were real bands.
I know, it sounds like it'd be fun.
Although I'd imagine there's probably a lot of fights.
Possibly.
Just like if you went and saw an AC/DC cover band at, you know, the Rusty Elbow in Covington.
Yeah, but there's crappy people in Covington.
Well, there's crappy people. I forgot Oregon's the epitome of non-crappy people.
Oh, no, there's all sorts of crappy people there, too. That's true.
So speaking of Oregon, I was talking to a coworker today who's applying for a job where he would cover, for whatever he's doing, he would cover parts of Washington and Oregon. And he was talking about his wife, wherever she works, there's an office in Seattle, which is where she works now. There's an office in Tacoma. Or there's an office in Portland. And he was like, yeah, so we want to get out of Seattle, so we're talking about moving. And if I get this job, you know, it opens up where I could move to. And we were like, Seattle? I go, Seattle, Tacoma, Portland. I said, how weird does it sound that Tacoma's the best of those three?
Yeah, it is.
And he's like, holy shit, you're fucking right. He goes, we would have never said that 10 years ago. Yeah. No. Maybe in 97, when it was one of the top cities.
Yeah, but even then, it was a shithole.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what this area has come to, where you're like, Seattle, Tacoma, or Portland? Yeah, I'm going to take Tacoma.
Yeah, but I thought Tacoma's built on a bed of lies.
And shit smells.
Yeah, bed of lies and shit.
Yeah. What city's not built on a bed of lies?
Yeah, but I mean, really, one of the biggest parks in Tacoma, not the biggest, I mean, Discovery Park, obviously, or Point Defiance is obviously bigger, but one of the parks in Tacoma is literally built on an arsenic-like pile.
Yeah. Are they lying about it, though?
They just don't tell anybody.
That's not lying.
I mean, it's public record, but still.
Just because I'm forward about what I shove up my ass doesn't mean everybody's got to be forward about what you're standing on.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm different.
You build a big, huge dune theme park on top of a freaking arsenic pit.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is, you know?
It is. So.
All right. Well, how'd your run go?
It went good. We got
the world's toughest.
World's toughest mudder. There's 18 obstacles in 5 miles, and you do as many loops as you can in 24 hours. And we took Marla, who was a 78-year-old lady in a wheelchair, through 6 laps.
Wow.
So we did 30 total miles. So my legs hate me.
Oh, I imagine. But
and I'm pretty sure I have blisters on top of my blisters.
I saw a story about the New York Marathon that a girl with Down syndrome was the first ever to complete it.
Yes.
Which I thought was
super cool. That too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because she was balling at the end of it, because, I mean, which she deserved to, for being the first one to do that.
Well, she might not even care that she was the first one, just the fact that she did it. She did it, you know, and then the history and stuff might weigh on you a little bit later. And then not only that, but I'm sure when you finished your first, you thought about crying just in pain.
Oh, no, I cried. Yeah. I did.
So, no, I get that.
Well, I cried in pain, wanted to die.
Any big comedy coming up?
No, I've got a couple. I think I've got a show coming up next week on the 16th. But it's only about a 5-minute set. But it's still getting to know people in this this area to hopefully get some more sets. So
there you go. All right, guys. Well, with all that being said, remember to be excellent to each other.
Hug the ones you love.
And we will see you next week.
See you later.